This week's Bagel Breakfast Show, thank you very much, Michael, for allowing me to step on your territory. Mrs. Debbie Meyer has, according to her, one of the biggest fans of our Bagel Breakfast here. Many years ago, I met her at a Simcha, and she said, when will the shul put more Bagel Breakfast Shurim online so she can hear them? And probably heard all of them by now. And the occasion arose, on a special occasion, to sponsor the kit they share now, and it just so happens that it's also appropriate to mention that she's in Shloshim still for her late mother, Mrs. Sarah Rochel Bas Hirsch, Mrs. Shirley Arkus, and we thank her for the opportunity to sponsor this year, and she wishes Arichas Yomim on her loss of another. You can mention it as well.
Bishus Marina Rav Shlita. We say this Shir Le'ilu Nishmas Maras Sor Rachel Bas Hirsch, Mrs. Shirley Arkus, who sadly was nifta just a couple of weeks ago. We wish Debbie and her family L'chaim Aruchim. I did not have the zechus of knowing Mrs. Shirley Arkus, but I do have the zechus of having known over many years both Debbie and also her brother Jonathan. Jonathan, who is an OBE and he was active in Board of Deputies as president, facing the opposition of the anti-Semites masquerading as animal rights activists who tried to ban Shkita. So, although I didn't know Mrs. Shirley Arkus, I do know her children. So, going by the way her children are so special, I think Mrs. Shirley Arkus was a very special person indeed. Chaim Aruchim. Today is the 21st of June, the longest day, and we've got a lot to get through, but because it's the longest day, we've got plenty of time. But really, although it says in Gemara Shabbos, Daf Lamed, that Rava told a joke whenever starting to learn a Shia, and there are comedians referred to in Gemara Tanis who gave cheer to sad people, on this occasion, really, there are no jokes. On this occasion, sadly, a lot of people sit and laugh watching people with obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, and really there is nothing to laugh about. You wouldn't laugh at somebody with a broken leg. That's an illness. But in the same way, we should not be laughing at people who are suffering from mental health issues. I once knew a person who sat in his car, sitting with popcorn, watching his next door neighbour locking up his house, and he would go to his car and then come back again and check it was locked, then he'd go back to his car and he'd come back again, and at least 10 or 20 times this person would be going back incessantly to make sure that his house was locked. Now, obviously we all worried about security, and the problem of OCD is that it might initially seem normal. It might seem to be something which is logical. So obviously you want to check that your house is locked. I mean, I myself might have certain compulsions, but every time I lock up, I simply say the word aloud, this house is now locked. So when I drive away, I know I don't have to have any doubts in my mind that the house is locked. And my wife told me that in Switzerland, they made this rule for train drivers, that they had to say aloud when they saw a signal, and they would say aloud what the red or green signal was, and that way they had no doubts afterwards as to what it was. So that's the way of dealing with it. In fact, before my father used to leave the house, he checked the gas taps and he used to say aloud, minus, 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 to know that they were all off. And that way you walk away and you don't have this compulsion, but some people have obsessive compulsive disorders where it's really overtaking their lives. Because we might all have a small kind of compulsion. You know, every time I walk into this shul, I have a certain compulsion after having been the shamus here 60 years ago, to straighten the cover of the pulpit. Yeah. It's never properly straight the way I used to have it. And I feel like going up to it, and sometimes when I go back after the shiur to pick up my talis, I go up to it and I put it back the way it used to be, and then I feel better afterwards. So you can say it's a form of OCD, but it doesn't take over my life. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that I have to get treatment for it. But obsessions can be recurrent, persistent thoughts, urges, which are usually marked by anxiety or distress. Repetitive behaviors, like people who wash their hands over and over again because they feel like they're not clean enough.
Can I mention something?
Yes.
I have a message from Gershon Hepner.
Yes.
He said he couldn't find the slats for Chukas Bollock, And he was very upset because he knows that Eli would be very upset from seeing that they're not caught up yet.
It was the first thing I noticed when I came in this morning.
He apologised if he couldn't find them last night.
They feel obsessive about, but it's not something which needs treatment. But it's something which people do not know enough about when it comes to mental illness. I mean, this guy who was watching his neighbour locking up the house, it's something which is more prevalent than one thinks. There's a sefer which has come out about this very subject, which talks about a young man aged 19 who has this urge to give tzedakah. He's got such an urge, and he says a mitzvah, so why shouldn't it be a wonderful thing to do? The problem is he has such an urge to give tzedakah, he was giving away more money than he was earning. So he became in debt just for giving tzedakah. That's not what the halacha requires. Or then this sefer talks about a married lady in her 30s who's got such an obsession about mixing meat and milk that she's worried that the hands which people use to open and close the fridge will have traces either of milk or meat on them, so she would wash the handle of her fridge 25 times a day. Now that is an obsession, that is an OCD. And the same woman had red hands because she washed them so frequently thinking they were not clean enough. Or she would spend so many hours checking her lettuces for bugs that, you know, you check it once, you check it twice, but that's enough. If you don't, can't see anything, okay, the halacha doesn't make you responsible anymore. You don't need to use a microscope to check your lettuces. But for some, the halacha enters their lives in an obsessive sort of way that they feel they have to do more and more and it's never enough. So you might suggest to me, is it that religion is causing OCD? So the psychiatrists write about this. They say the religion does not cause the OCD, but it reveals it. It reveals this person's obsession, which manifests itself because of their religious halakhic activities and their desire to do what's right. So it's not really easy to determine whether a person has OCD. I mean, what's the big deal if I like pizza or pancakes? But if you say to me, yeah, I also like pizza and pancakes, but if I'm storing a few hundred of them in my roof, then I have a problem. Or sometimes people who have the problem don't even see it in themselves. They won't recognize it. Like the guy who's driving on a motorway on the M1 and hears on the traffic news that there's a car driving on the wrong side of the carriageway. And he says, what do you mean there's one car driving on the right side of the carriageway? I can see 20 cars driving on the wrong side of the carriageway. But what are the halachic issues? What comes out from this in terms of applying halacha? And the problem with many is that it's hard to distinguish scrupulous religious observance with unhealthy obsessions. But sometimes you might think, a person is so makbid, so particular about doing the halacha correctly, he's wonderful. But really, it might be an unhealthy obsession. Certainly it's a mitzvah to wash one's hands frequently, for negul vasa netilas yodayim, for bread, even wet vegetables, according to certain opinions, or touching covered skin. But some OCDs include incessant washing hands all day long, where it's no longer a halachic thing. It's a mental health issue. Before Pesach, we have a mitzvah to clear out the chometz. And yet there is a danger that this cleanliness becomes an OCD. And many housewives think that dirt is chometz, that they have to wash the walls. That is not the case. And we know from the Mishnah of Pesachim that when you search for chometz, and there's a weasel carrying chometz from one room to another, so as soon as you clean one room and you go to the next room, the weasel comes back with more chometz into the first room. So the Mishnah in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, says you can stop. Ein ladavar sof, there's no end to it. The Torah is given to humans, not to angels. So there has to be a line which is drawn, and you don't have to carry on searching for chometz. Another common obsession which comes to mental health professionals, from mental health professionals nowadays, is when people daven extremely slowly. Now, it's very wonderful when you daven with kavanah. It's a wonderful thing that you say every word properly and you don't gobble down your words. My father used to say, when you daven, it should be like counting money, because when you count money, you say, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8. Mind you, nowadays with these money counting machines, they go. But if a person spends so long on their Shemona Esra that they're worried they haven't pronounced a word correctly, especially in the Shema, they haven't pronounced, so they go back and they say it again, and they say it again, and again and again and again. That is not halacha. That is a mental health issue. But it's sometimes difficult to distinguish. I once went with my Rosh Hashiva to Manchester, and we visited the Manchester Yeshiva, the Rosh Hashiva of Rav Siegel. And there's a street there named after him, a very famous Rosh Hashiva. And my Rosh Hashiva wanted to go up to him and say hello when Maariv finished, but he was still saying his Shemona Esra. And so he waited a few minutes, and he thought, well, we can't hang around too long. Everybody else had left. I've gone home. But he was still davening his Shemona Esra. Now, I'm not suggesting, chas v'shalom, that Rav Siegel suffered from this disorder. Because when Rabbonim are davening, not only are they setting the example, but they've got a long list of sick people who they're davening for. So their Shemona Esra does take longer. And what is, though, the criteria? How do we determine if that person is suffering from OCD or are simply scrupulous in their religious behavior? How does one distinguish? So Rav Moshe Sternberg says, he quotes a student of the Maharal Midiskin, he says, you have to look at the mood. If you look at the mood, you will be able to determine whether it is religious fervor or whether it's OCD. When a person is excited, when a person is doing a mitzvah with fervor, then that is something wonderful. That is something to be praised. He talks about from Rosh Chodesh Elul, there was already excitement of Maharal Diskin to hear the shofar being blown. And on Rosh Hashanah, the Maharal Diskin would listen to various other people blowing the shofar after he had already heard it during the service. There are different opinions of blowing this way, you blow that way. And he listened to every single blast. And if the person didn't do it right, you would ask them to start again. So he spent almost the whole day listening to shofar out of chavivus for the mitzvah, for endearment to the mitzvah. In fact, the Rambam talks about on Sukkos, people hold their lulav the whole day long because they're so endeared to this mitzvah. So Rabbi Grunwald writes in Eitzos v'Hadrochos, he says, when performing a mitzvah, one has joy and happiness and excitement, that is normally religious fervor. That is a person who's got dveikus in his mitzvah. But if a person feels discomfort, if a person feels fear or tension or depression or misery, then he says that is a proof. That is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention of how you do a mitzvah. The essence of doing a mitzvah is joy. Pekudei Hashem Yeshorim Masam Chelev. When you perform Hashem's mitzvahs, you get a joy in your heart. You get a high from it. Drachel Darchei Noam, we say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are ways of pleasantness. L'chol Nesiv Asher Shalom. And there's a posuk in Divrei HaYomim, Aleph, chapter 16. Hod v'hod olafonav oz v'chedva bin tomo. There is strength and joy are in his place. Chedva means a joy and excitement. So when people are doing mitzvahs out of the love for the mitzvah, that is part and parcel of Ohavtos Hashem Elokecha, of loving Hashem. And that the way that the psychotherapist can determine whether somebody is acting out of religious fervor or out of OCD will often be indicated by the mood of the person. Normally, these people who suffer from OCD are constantly in a state of misery and anxiety. That they will come to shul, they look depressed, and that they're spending a lot of time on their davening, but they're looking worried. There is something there. I once knew a person, very well, who had this problem with davening. When he davened, he just couldn't finish his Shemona Esra. He just felt as though he was not spending enough time on it. So he spent half an hour, 40 minutes on his Shemona Esra. Repeating words, going over things, saying things very slowly. And at first, he didn't think it was a problem. He just thought that there was nothing wrong with him, but he was just doing his mitzvahs out of fervor. Until people who knew him well said to him, you know, this is not right. This is not the way of doing things. And he went to a frum Jewish psychotherapist called Rav Yaakov Bar, who sat with him and treated him professionally as a psychotherapist, but also as a rabbi. And this Rabbi Yaakov Bar actually came with him to shul to daven and sat next to him davening. And when the fellow hesitated, Rabbi Bar said, carry on, don't go back. And this Shaila came before the Stipler Gaon, the famous, the father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Yaakov Kanievsky. He said such people, they should read from the Siddur every word, and then you don't go back on anything. And even if you think, I didn't have enough kavona, I didn't have enough concentration, he said, it doesn't matter, you don't go back. And that is the way Rabbi Yaakov Bar treated this person, who now is leading a normal life and spends the same amount of time as everybody else on his Shemone Esra. So it was an illness. It wasn't religious fervor. So Rabbi Yaakov Kanievsky said that this OCD, which brings misery to people and overtakes their lives, is a tactic of the Yetzer Hara. It's the evil inclination, because it's to make you feel that the mitzvahs are burdensome. One should never feel that the mitzvahs are a burden. And when one gets that feeling, that is the evil inclination saying to you, why didn't you just drop the whole lot? Leave it. You don't need this. So there's a rabbi who's also a qualified psychotherapist called Avigdor Bonchek, who's written a sefer about this, which is published by Feldheim. He says OCD is not a Jewish thing, but it manifests itself when you have mitzvahs to do, then that problem you have does come out in certain ways. And he says that it's shown by stress, it's shown by a person in a somber mood, semi-depression, pressure, or there's an inflexibility. So he says a truly religious person, if he's ill and he's told by the doctor to eat on Yom Kippur, then he will eat. There was once this Hasidic Rebbe who was eating on Yom Kippur in great joy, and his student said to him, Rebbe, why are you, we can understand you have to eat, it's Yom Kippur, but why are you doing so with such joy? He says, because that's the will of Hashem. It's the will of God that I'm eating today, therefore I'm doing His commandment to save my life. In contrast, a person who suffers from OCD will not wish to eat on Yom Kippur, even if the Rav and even if the doctor says so. That is a symptom of OCD. Rav Tversky, a very famous psychotherapist rabbi, Zichrono Livracha, he spoke about a woman who was so obsessed with kashrus, and she was worried that her dishes were trafed up. And the rabbi said to her, they're okay, they're kosher, you don't have to throw them away. But she threw away three sets of dishes because she said, my rabbi did not understand my shaila. That is the mentality of OCD. You have to put your trust in the professional psychotherapists and the rabbis in order to know how to continue. There is a warning of Rabbi Dr. Abraham Steinberg, who writes in Refuah Kalocha, that therapy does help. But nevertheless, one should be very careful not to use psychologists who are heretics, who are against the Torah, because they will give alien ideas to you if you follow all the advice that they give. There's an interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Yaredeah, in Reish Mem Ches, that if somebody is a very generous person and gives all his money away to tzedakah, more than he can afford, then the collectors should not go up to him to ask for tzedakah, because it's more than he can afford and it's self-destructive. Similarly, the Shalosh Tshunas Ginas Varodim, he talks about unnecessary chumras, which can really be a symptom of a compulsive disorder. The Shelas Yavats talk about checking bugs, and the Hachmer Ein Das Chachomim Nochehimenu. So if you want to be chumra and go and check again and again and again, you check once or twice and that's enough. But once you do it more than that, that is an obsession. He says, are we going to forbid all fruits and vegetables? Because if you start using microscopes, you'll always find something, some creepy crawly somewhere or another in some fruits. But if you follow the guidelines set out, like Rabbi Falk has a sefer on checking bugs, that is good enough. And lo nisno Torah l'malachei hashoris. The Torah was not given to angels. It was given to human beings. Another problem which arises, and the Ramban points this out, is the subject of chatzitza, where a woman is preparing for mikvah and she's careful to cut her nails to make sure there are no hair strands intermingled with each other and there's nothing in the way which will prevent her dipping in the mikvah from being a kosher dip. And he says it's not good to be overly strict. You know, there can be questions that arise when she dipped in the mikvah. Did she close her eyes too tight or too lightly, or were her lips closed too much or too little? He says we can't evaluate these things. If she goes through the normal procedure, or may I quote Kiyosama, we go through the process, that's good enough. Halacha.
Kuba had somebody.
Yes.
Like that, a woman.
Yeah.
OCD in her mikveh. he had to deal with that. That was very difficult.
Yeah, because they're so keen to do the halacha properly that they feel it's the right thing to do. But it becomes an obsession that it overtakes their lives, that it's not necessary to spend 6-7 hours preparing for the mikvah. So the Stipler Gaon writes, Lo yachzor lo b'shum ofen. When it comes to the davening, you must not go back at all. Afilu nidme lo shalom akhogen. Even if you're so sure you did not have the right kavona, or that you missed out words, just carry on. And a similar thing was written by Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Arach Chaim, Chelek, Hei, Simon, Hei, nowadays, if you think that your concentration was lacking, you don't go back. And he bases it on the remote and the Torah.
If you miss words, you said you didn't go back.
If you're so sure you missed the word, okay, then you'll go back and say that word. I know Rabbi Cooper was very particular that words are not repeated, especially with Chazonus. It's very... Some Chazonim love to repeat words when they just so that it fits the tune, and it upset Rabbi Cooper a lot. Unless you're saying Chadesh Aminu Kekedem, because it's not God's name and it's at the end of the Pasuk. So when we sing Chadesh Aminu Kekedem a couple of times over, fine. But he was very particular about this. But you do hear stories of Hasidic Rebbes who, when they say the Shema and they're saying it with such concentration, Ula Ovdo Bechol Levavachem, and they want to make sure that the words don't join with the lamas, not to say Bechol Levavachem. So they might repeat it 2 or 3 times. That is something which Hasidic Rebbes do. But if they say it over 10 times, that's already an obsession. But according to the Psak of Rav Moshe Feinstein, you don't go back. You've said it. You say it from the Siddur, so from the Siddur you are saying you know every single word. But there's some bits of the Siddur, if you think you know it by heart, you know, you just don't know it by heart. You have to use a Siddur for various phrases which can be tongue twisters. That if you know that you've davened from a Siddur, you don't go back, even if you think that you didn't have the right concentration. Now, look at Chila, you have to concentrate. You have to have the right concentration for Shema. You have to have concentration for the Birchas Ovos, the first Brachas of the Shemein Esra. You have to have look at Chila concentration. But Reb Moshe's Pasuk is, you don't go back if your concentration was lacking. So there's a sefer Rav David Lichtenstein who writes about OCD, and he quotes Rav Osher Weiss, the Minchas Osher 134, who refers to the Stipler Pesach, and he says an amazing chiddush. He says even at the expense of mitzvah observance of a mitzvah saseh, you can treat the OCD patient to follow the therapist's instruction. For example, if it's so difficult for a person to say a bracha because he'll say it over and over again and repeat it and he won't feel he's doing it properly, he even goes as far as saying, then eat without the bracha, which is a chiddush. It may well depend on the intensity of the illness. You know, some people might have a very light OCD. I mean, my OCD with the shul pulpit cover is probably just a light form. It's not something which overtakes my life. But with somebody where it's overtaking their life and they cannot function properly as normal human beings, he says we suspend mitzvah observance. And what's the story behind it? Because if you can treat it, then better, it's like with Hilchos Shabbos, better you break Shabbos, one Shabbos, in order to save life, in order that you can keep many more Shabbosos. So better break this halacha, he says, to get treatment, in order that in future you'll be able to keep all the mitzvahs properly. So there's a famous tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, Chelek Aleph, Simon Pei Gimel, where the question came up about a 7-year-old child needing treatment in a non-Jewish mental institute. And in this institution, they were giving non-kosher food, and there was no opportunity to give kosher food to this child. And also there was no Jewish education in this institute. Is one allowed to put this 7-year-old child into this institute? And the psak of the Chasam Sofer was, yes, we do allow it. Also, an amazing chiddush. Certainly, one may not feed directly a child with non-kosher food, and you might say that by putting them into this institute, it is as if you are directly feeding non-kosher food, but the child has not yet reached the age of 13 or 12, and therefore, we might be enabling a child to do avera, mutar shechalal Torah zman ma. It is better to break the mitzvahs just for a temporary period, kedei sheyishma mitzvahs harbe, in order that he can do many mitzvahs in the future. But the Chasam Sofer does qualify his statement. And those who quote him are not always aware of what he writes at the end of his tshuva. He says, but if it's an adult, there we were talking about a seven-year-old child, if it's an adult, and the adult is not defined as a shoter. A shoter, a fool, is somebody who is far beyond somebody who simply has got OCD. Somebody who is really devoid of their mental capacities. And the way the halacha says that a cheresh shoter koson are being free from various mitzvahs, no mitzvah, he says, may be suspended. And he says many mental disabilities do not fall within the category of shoter. It really has to be evaluated by the professional.
Reminds me of a teacher we had in school who used to wear two watches in case one went wrong, and he used to wear a belt and braces in case one of them snapped.
Yeah, well, it's good to describe the halacha in full detail. Belt and braces job, yeah. But precautions. Look, it's wise when, if I'm recording a shiur and I want to make sure it doesn't go wrong, it's wise not to take just one recorder because it might go wrong, so I bring two recorders. All right, only last time I only remembered to bring one. But that's not OCD, but it's a precautionary measure. Okay, so you don't want your trousers to fall down. You don't want to be embarrassed in public. So it's not OCD to wear braces as well as a belt. Not really. I don't think so, anyway. Now, Rav Yehuda Shmelkes, who was the Shalosh Tshuvos Beis Yitzchok in Eben Ezer, he says, he comments on the Chasam Sofer's Psak, and he says, when it's treating adults, enabling their ability to form the mitzvahs, then we may suspend the halacha, even if it's not a shoter. But if it's otherworldly matters, he's not so worried about. Like, you know, the incessant washing of hands or something like that. But he talks about the difference between worldly affairs and keeping the mitzvahs. But there is a concern when it comes to mental health issues. And as we started off saying, it's got to be taken seriously. It's not something to laugh at. That there are people in this state of misery, in this state of depression, who might feel suicidal. And apparently as many as 25% of OCD sufferers are vulnerable people at risk of suicide. That is the view of Rav David Lichtenstein. And therefore there's a sofek sakona on anything. And if it's a sofek sakona, we treat it like pikuach nefesh. Certainly it has to be evaluated up to the Rav and the psychologist. So I found just a few days ago that there's a sefer written in English about halachos relating to OCD, and it's called Nafshi B'She'elosi. And I thought, oh no, how am I going to manage to get it so soon before this Babel share I'm going to give? And then I went on Amazon and I discovered that I could buy it on Kindle for £6.99. So all I needed to press the button and up it came on the screen. And I had this whole sefer of 574 pages discussing all these intricate halachas. Well, we're not going to go through all of them now, even though it's the 21st of June. But just to bring out some of the points, and this sefer is written by a Rav, Rav Rosenzweig, and also a professional psychotherapist, Dr. Shmuel Harris. He talks about somebody, if they are very depressed, so they can't get out of bed in the morning, and it's difficult for them to get dressed. Otherwise, they're healthy in all other respects. Are they allowed to daven in pyjamas? Because it's disrespectful, the Mishnah Berurah talks about in chapter Tzadi Aleph, 11-12, issues relating to the way one dresses in shul or when one davens at home. The Chayotam talks about it. So the psak he brings is that one is allowed to daven in pyjamas when one is suffering from OCD in this way. But the Chazon Ish actually says when a person has so much anxiety that they find it difficult to daven at all, he suggests maybe they only daven once a week. Another amazing chiddush. And he suggests that the time that they daven is Friday Mincha. Why he says Friday Mincha, I'm not sure. But maybe that's the time of the week when we're all winding down and we're feeling more relaxed. So he suggests Friday Mincha as the time when, if we choose. And so there are various concessions made, not only with mental illness, but also physical illness. Interestingly, the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, discusses the subject of bringing a guide dog for the blind into shul. You know, it's not very respectful for the shul to have a dog in there, but he allows it. He allows the guide dog to be brought in, but suggests that the dog is davening at the back of the shul.
Some of these things, not obviously the dog thing, but suspending mitzvahs, that can actually stress the person out more. You take, you have to say to them, don't do this mitzvah, they could actually get more stress rather than less stress.
Yeah, very good point. You're saying that a person might suffer more anxiety by not davening rather than davening. So I think the approach taken, I certainly know from Rav Yaakov Bar, the approach taken is not to daven less, but to daven as routine requires, but only in a certain way. And what the psychotherapist is doing by exposing, by sitting next to the person who's davening and saying, come on, move on, you've done very well till now, just carry on. And that's an exposure, it's confronting head on. So the way of dealing with OCD is not to bury it in the ground. It's not to keep it a secret. It's not to hide it. It's to expose it and confront it head on. And that is the way to tackle mental illness. But only under professional guidance.
So I know it's a side point, but if the person with depression is allowed to tell in his pyjamas, what about somebody who's got a physical thing like flu?
Oh, there's no question about it. The person who's got flu can't leave home or can't easily get dressed, then certainly that person can also daven in pyjamas, yes. Or maybe put on a dressing gown, which is more respectful. But there is no need to get dressed when one is in a state of chole she'ein bo sakana. Obviously, chole she'ein bo sakana is no question. The chole she'ein bo sakana means there's no danger to life, but it's somebody who's confined to the house. So there's an interesting discussion in Hilchas Shabbos when we talk about somebody who's confined. Does it mean somebody who's confined to bed? Or does it mean somebody who's confined to their house? So there is a psak. It's somebody that they're not able to go out. If they're not able to go out, that is already a chole she'ein bo sakana.
So that would apply if you're confined to bed?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, but not only confined to bed, you might think that confined to house is a different kind of criterion substantially, but we will call somebody a chola, a sick person, even if they're unable to go out of their house. They can get up from bed, they can sit in the front room on the armchair. You know, they might, you know, everyone might be eating at the table and they're sitting with a blanket covering them, but that's still called a chola she'ein bo sakana, that they're not able to go out. Another shaila which came before Rav Moshe Feinstein is if somebody's hospitalized for mental illness, or even if they're just in convalescence, chelek aleph, kuf, ayin, base, he says you do not have to bring to them the shofar if it's going to be something which is not... if you can come along and blow the shofar for them in hospital, fine. But what if the hospital don't allow it? You don't have to take them out to come to shul or to come anywhere else to hear the shofar being blown. Obviously, a visit is allowed and shofar is allowed, there's no problem. When it comes to shiduchim, he writes that when you are dating and you are suffering from OCD, you have an obligation to disclose this to your potential spouse. But if you've been through treatment and you've recovered and you've overcome it, there is no obligation to do so. But yes, you do get these guys on shiduchim who say, I guess I have a tendency to... hang my dirty hankies over the radiator. One has to be emistic. All facts should be revealed up front. Interestingly, there's a halacha in Hilchas Shabbos. Gemara Shabbos Kuf Chaf Ches on the base. If a woman is blind and she's just given birth, and we can break Shabbos for a woman who's just given birth up to a whole week, even if there's nothing wrong with her. We treat childbirth as a risky time, so we should be able to break Shabbos if she asks for something. What if she asks for the Shabbos candles to be lit on Shabbos, because they weren't lit before Shabbos, and Shabbos has come in and she says, I want the Shabbos candles lit. She's blind. She can't see them. And the halacha is, you light the candles on Shabbos because of the fact that it gives her mental stability. It's good for her mental health, and that mental health is treated just as important as her physical health.
She can feel the heat from the flame.
I beg your pardon?
She can still feel the heat from the flame.
Well, If they're tea lights, I don't know how strong the heat will be from the flames, but if she's been told, yes, they have been lit, that gives her comfort and menuchas hanefesh. Rav Shlomo Volba, a very famous mashkiach from Be'er Yaakov Yeshiva, he wrote a number of svarim, and in Bishvilei HaRefuah he says, if you see somebody behaving oddly, it might not enter your mind immediately that this could be an emotional illness. Occasionally, they might not recognize if a youth is depressed, but he has seen students even with schizophrenic tendencies, and he says it's very important to identify these things early. And he says there is a very urgent need for all practicing rabbis and educators to spread the knowledge of symptoms of neurosis and psychosis. They should go on recognized courses to learn about psychotherapy, because they're not learning about it in yeshiva. And rabbis and educators should go on courses in order to familiarize themselves with the symptoms of neurosis and psychosis, that they can recognize and direct ill people for treatment at an early stage. And that basic knowledge will also remove any prejudices. An interesting idea to finish off with is that the Chidushei HaRim, the first Geira Rebbe, said that the way of healing people have a fear of revealing their secrets, of their OCDs. He says the best way to heal is often when they have a friend in whom they can confide. Usually these people who are suffering from depressions and anxieties, they're loners. And one of the 48 ways of acquiring Torah, it says in Pekei Avos, is b'dibuk chavirim, by clinging to friends. And if you have a friend, better a friend than a relative. And he quotes from the story of Yehuda, who went down from his brothers, it says, v'yered Yehuda me'esechov. So he went down in Madrega. And we know the story of Tamar, who dressed up as a harlot, and Yehuda had a fling with her, thinking that she was a harlot, even though she wasn't. But she felt she deserved a yibum, and that's how the whole story happened. It says, he turned to an Adulamite named Chiro. Who is this guy Chiro? It doesn't say anything. Who is this special guy? And it just says he associated with an Adulamite named Chiro. And this Chiro he sent to pay the fee to the harlot. But he confided in Chiro. He had a friend to help him. And says the Geira Rebbe, he was in a difficult situation. He recognized he had gone off the derech in a certain way and done something wrong. But by having a friend, that helped him go on the right track. And that is an important remedy. A friend in need is a friend indeed. So that is our subject for today. I hope I've been able to throw light on what is really a complex, difficult subject for many to come to terms with, but certainly it's not something to laugh at. And just like we will have sympathy for somebody with a broken leg, we will try and help people who are suffering from illness. Thank you very much. I would suggest we make a Kaddish in memory of Mrs. Arkush, if somebody, shall I say it? Rabbi Chananah ben Akasha Omer, Rotzak and Shmokul and Zakas Yisrael, the Ficho Heber and Tamisra Shanema, Adonai Chafetz, the Mansit Kaya, Adil Torah, the Adil, Ingo Nishmas, Mrs. Shirley Arkush. Amen.